This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. A study released earlier this week about the potential of the Utica Shale Formation was met with praise from the Consumer Energy Alliance. But as Jesse Wright explains, the West Virginia Sierra Club doesn't share that enthusiasm.
The Utica Shale Playbook study released on Tuesday says there may be 20 times as much recoverable gas and twice as much recoverable oil in the Utica Shale Formation as was previously thought. Bryden Ross was very excited to hear the news.
And it's great news. It really is. It's fantastic news, even if it's 50% right.
Ross is the Vice President of State Affairs with the Consumer Energy Alliance, a national nonprofit with ties to the energy industry that bills itself as an advocate for energy consumers.
For companies and industries that are looking to invest, you know, in the Utica Shale area and, you know, all through Appalachia as well. I mean, you're talking about areas that really need the money and need the investment, is right where a lot of this resource potential is. So we see it as nothing but positive.
The Utica Shale runs under parts of five states, including northern West Virginia and Kentucky, eastern Ohio, Pennsylvania, and New York. Not everyone agrees that looking for more fossil fuels is the way to go, though.
We cannot use all of the reserves we've already found without very serious adverse effects from climate change.
Jim Kotzon deals with energy issues for the West Virginia chapter of the Sierra Club.
So if we're going to control the increase in temperature from climate change, then finding more gas won't help us.
The West Virginia Geological and Economic Survey in Morgantown was one of four state geological survey groups that contributed to the Utica study. Michael Hahn is the survey's director. He says that eastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania could see new hydraulic fracturing well pads developed as a result of the new Utica Shale study. But because many wells can be drilled on the same pad, and the fact that the Utica Shale formation lies below the Marcellus Shale in West Virginia, Hahn says companies can use existing well pads to tap into the Utica.
So more wells in West Virginia, but the footprint will be similar to the Marcellus.
But more fracking activity isn't necessarily a good thing, according to Jim Kotzon. He says the government isn't doing a good enough job of regulating existing fracking operations.
As a result, many of the local communities, although they benefit financially, are seeing some very significant adverse effects.
Kotzon says those effects include things like air and water pollution, increased truck traffic, and the resulting damage to roads. Bryden Ross with the Consumer Energy Alliance disagrees. He says the fracking industry is being regulated properly.
You can have economic development, energy security, without harming your environment. Yeah, we think this study is nothing but good news for the people of the Utica Shale area as well, who frankly need the investment, need the jobs and the money.
Either way, it appears the energy industry is quickly moving toward natural gas. SNL Financial issued a report earlier this week that shows natural gas overtook coal as the top source of U.S. electric power generation for the first time ever in April. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jesse Wright in Morgantown.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:47. Some fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny today. Temperatures in the 70s and 80s, mostly clear overnight with lows in the 60s. Mostly sunny on Friday. There is a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms in the north and east with highs in the 80s. Another slight chance of rain and thunderstorms Friday night. The outlook for the weekend, partly sunny, but with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Temperatures in the 80s to near 90 degrees.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Employer services at wvdrs.org.
For the past 8 months, the West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission has been focused on exposing more than just students to the world of STEM. STEM, of course, stands for science, technology, engineering, and math, and those fields have been the topic of conversation at the Commission's STEM Speaker Series events, which began in November. Last month, journalist and author Rachel Swaby shared her work as part of the series. Ashton Mara has more.
I'd like to start by talking about Marie Curie. And I am going to talk about her to say we are not going to talk about her.
Rachel Swaby is described in her bio as a freelance journalist who's written for publications like Wired, The Atlantic, and Afar, a travel magazine. But when she took the stage at the Walker Theater in Charleston, she was so much more, an author, a storyteller, even an advocate. You see, Swaby's first book was published in April of this year, titled Headstrong. It features the stories of 52 women who, she says, didn't just change science, but changed the world.
I hope people aren't surprised that there are a lot of really amazing women in science, but I hope that we kind of internalize these stories and we talk about them more. I think it's easy to say, oh, Marie Curie, and like check that you've just talked about a woman in science box, but like we should have a breadth of knowledge of kind of many women who have done many amazing things.
Women like Yvonne Brill, who in the 1940s designed a satellite propulsion system that's still being used today, or Russian mathematician Sofia Kowalewski, who Swaby described during her Charleston talk about the book.
Sophie is an 11-year-old in the 1860s. And she's in front of this wall in her home, and she loves this wall. So why is she staring at this wall? So her father was a general. He retired. They moved from the city. They got this big estate in the country, and there's, like, ponds and grass and trees. And so they want to freshen up the place. So they get wallpaper. They wallpaper the whole place. They didn't measure it correctly. And the nursery went without wallpaper. They got all the way there, and then empty room with bare walls. So in the 1860s, it's not like Amazon. You can't just say, like, give me more wallpaper. So they were kind of stuck. So her father was like, forget it. I've got this covered. He had these lithographed lectures on differential and integral calculus, just like upstairs. So he was like, let's use that as wallpaper. So he wallpapered in the nursery with calculus.
Later in life, Sophie's father would not allow her to go to college, so she arranged a marriage with a European man that allowed her to leave Russia and continue her education.
She had a wide range of interests. She was a voracious reader. She was a writer, too. She wrote short stories. She wrote her own memoir. And she thought it was a mistake of the uninformed to confuse mathematics and arithmetic. Arithmetic was this, like, dry and arid thing where you just kind of multiply and divide, and that was it. But mathematics took real creativity.
Mathematics is poetry, the Russian mathematician once said. As a journalist, Swaby finds herself often covering the world of science and technology and says she never has a hard time finding women to talk about who work in those fields, as long as she consciously challenges herself to do it.
There's not a lack of women in science. Like, there are a lot of women in science, but I think they're just not being covered as much. And I think they're not being covered as much because of habit.
The habit of relying on the Rolodex of scientists journalists have already been exposed to. But Swaby says she hopes her work, both as a reporter and as a published author, starts to change that.
With women do really well in sciences in high school. Girls do just as well as boys do. But then all of a sudden there's this big drop-off, and there's something about the kind of perception of what fields are open to them, and it may not even be conscious.
It may not be conscious, but Swaby is right. A 2013 U.S. Census Bureau report says men are twice as likely to be employed in STEM fields. One in five female science and engineering graduates are out of the labor force, compared to one in 10 men. Those numbers, Swaby says, are reason enough to start changing the conversation.
I want these scientists to be name-checked at cocktail parties, and I want parents to talk to their sons and daughters about this history of science. I just would love it to be more of a part of our kind of popular culture.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
Rachel Swaby visited Charleston to share her work as part of the West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission's Division of Science and Research Speaker Series. The next event in the series is scheduled for this evening in Charleston. Theoretical physicist Dr. Leonard Mlodinow will discuss the development of scientific theories and his book, The Grand Design, which he co-authored with Stephen Hawking. That event is set for tonight at 7 at the Culture Center Theater. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.